Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to Sunday School. We are glad that you are here, and in anticipation of myself having been otherwise occupied over in New Hampshire at the end of this week, I had made arrangements for Brother Joe Amedio to address us in Sunday School. So we're kind of taking a break from our series here on Union. I did not go away because of the weather, although Mike and David went to the conference there. But Joe is ready, and he wants to come and bring us this teaching kind of preaching. That's how this is today. And his theme is going to be holiness, I think, and holiness of God in particular. And so we're glad for Joe to be here, and that's how we're going to proceed. And I'd like for us to begin by standing and singing Holy, Holy, Holy. It's number 86 in your hymnal, if you'd like to follow those little black marks on the page. But let's sing along here. Spirit, help him as he brings forth this teaching and preaching to us, Lord, on this incredible and incredibly central attribute of yours. We ask that you would fill him with your Spirit and us with your Spirit, Lord, that we'd be abiding in union with you this day and for the whole of the day, for Sunday School and our worship time together. We ask this in the name of Jesus. You may be seated, and I'm going to ask Brother Joe to come up and share his preaching with us.
Thank you, Pastor. Morning, everyone.
Good morning, Joe.
Before I get into the message, I've learned in the last couple of years, you know, the Lord gave me, some of you might not be aware of it, but the Lord has given me an opportunity the last few years to preach at the mission from time to time alongside Pastor. And they give you 30 minutes not 1 minute longer. If you're not done in 30 minutes, they'll stop you. But anyway, I found in my preparation for those opportunities, it was difficult to create a message or write a message to fit in that time slot. And, you know, I would have thought, you know, when I first got into it, I was very nervous and petrified, and I said, oh, I can't do this. But the thing that I struggled with the most was trying to fit it, what I have to say, into a half-hour time slot. So the first time I preached down here, I started at 6. At 6:30, I still had 4 or 5 pages of notes left. So I didn't figure it right. I wasn't able to finish it. So then the next time I went down, I said, well, you know, I had X amount of pages. So I said, next time I'll do 4 or 5 pages less and should be just right. So as it turned out, it was too quick. I was done in 20 minutes. So anyway, I say all that to say, you know, our Sunday school, 9:30 to 10, you know, 40 minutes. So that's a pretty good length of time to speak. And I said, jeepers, I got to come up with some stuff to fill 40 minutes. But so anyway, I don't know what's going to happen. But here we go. I want to thank the Lord for His word, because without His word, you can only imagine where we would be. Besides the word of God, God throughout church history, He has given us godly men who have, right from Augustine right on up through to the present day, R.C. Sproul, John MacArthur, men like that, Steve Lawson. But anyway, I just want to acknowledge, thank the Lord, and thank Him for these men, because what I have written down, I gleaned it from all these, from not just from the Bible, but from these men. I don't have a title. I couldn't think of one, but anyway. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That was the first event in history, the act of creation. The God we worship is the God who always has been. He alone can create beings, because He alone has the power of being. He is pure being, the one who has the power to be all by Himself. He alone is eternal. He alone has power over death. He alone can call worlds into being by command. Think about it. That's staggering, that power. Absolutely outstanding. It is deserving of respect and humble adoration. This is the God who was revealed to us in Scripture. Now, one of the most important concepts that a Christian can ever grapple with and is basic to our whole understanding of God and of Christianity is the fact that God is holy. God is holy. The idea of holiness is so central to biblical teaching that it is said of God, "Holy is thy name." And you can read that in Luke chapter 1, verse 49. His name is holy because He is holy. The world has little respect for God, which is seen by the way they regard His name. It is not treated with reverence. His name is trampled through the mud. It functions as a curse word. It's a platform for the obscene. They have no honor, no reverence, no awe before him. What about you? How do you react when you see or hear the Lord's name taken in vain? Do you shudder in fear of those, for those who do so? Or has this common sacrilege become unnoticeable to you? Perhaps you're guilty of profaning his name in speech or in how you come before him in worship. Consider how you may have taken God's name in vain recently, and pray that you would not blaspheme him, and encourage your family and your friends to revere his glorious name in their thoughts, words, and deeds. When God constituted his people as a nation and created the foundation for a godly society, he included in his commandments a law that regulated the use of his name. You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7a. This commandment concerns the manner of worship, forbidding all careless or profane use of his name, and commanding a holy reverence from us in all our solemn addresses to him and in all our ordinary mention of his name. The object thereof is to keep the heart in holy awe and reverence of God, so that we go around in a holy way and in a reverent way about everything that concerns him, for his glory and for the edification of ourselves and of others. As we can see, this commandment shows beyond doubt that God places a very high premium on the importance of his people recognizing his name as holy and treating it that way. It is by his name that we have access to God in worship. His name is therefore to be exalted. Now, I want to ask this question. What would you say the top priority of the church is today? Let's think about that for a second. What would you say the top priority for the church is today? Is it evangelism? Is it missions? Is it social action? Is it the spiritual nurture of the saints? These things certainly are valid priorities for the church. But what did Jesus say the first priority for his church is? Well, we could find the answer in the model prayer that he gave to us. In it, the Lord listed special requests, also known as petitions. These are the priorities that Jesus indicated his people should ask for in their prayers. The very first petition, he said, was, "Hallowed be your name." The first line of the prayer is not a petition. It is a form of personal address. Our Father who art in heaven. We often confuse the words, "Hallowed be your name," with part of the address. But that is not how Jesus said it. He uttered it. He uttered it as a petition, as the first petition. In other words, Jesus was saying to the church, your first priority is to be praying that my Father's name would be regarded as sacred and holy. Why? Why would Jesus say that? It seems strange to us to place so much emphasis on the proper treatment of a name. When the Lord Jesus set forth his priorities in his prayer, he had a reason for listing them in the order that he did. First, he listed, hallowed be your name. Second was your kingdom come. And third was your will be done. Now, these petitions may be distinguished one from another, but they are interconnected, and we dare not separate them from each other. The church is to be praying for the manifestation and the victory of the kingdom of God on the earth. The kingdom of God on the earth. But the hope for the victory of God's kingdom on this planet is futile until the name of God is regarded as sacred. God's kingdom does not come to people who have no respect for him. Likewise, we pray that the will of God will be done in this world. But God's will is not done by people who do not regard him with reverence and with adoration. So, the very beginning of godliness, the very beginning of transformation in our lives and in our society begins with our posture before the character of God. Only once in sacred scripture an attribute of God is elevated to the third degree. Only once is a characteristic of God mentioned three times in succession. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. You can read that in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. The Bible never says that God is love, 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 or mercy, 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 or wrath, 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 or justice, 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 but it does say that he is holy, holy, holy. Woe is me, cried the prophet Isaiah. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah 6, chapter, verse 5. Woe is me is not a phrase Isaiah used lightly, nor was it a plea for sympathy. Isaiah was pronouncing the judgment of God upon his own head. He was affirming his depravity and the depravity of his people in light of God's incomprehensible holiness. Isaiah's sudden realization of ruin was linked to his mouth. He did not say, I am a man of unclean thoughts or of unclean habits. Instead, he called attention immediately to his mouth. In effect, he was saying, I have a dirty mouth. Now, why this focus on his mouth? Well, perhaps a clue to Isaiah's utterance may be found in the words of Jesus. When he said that it's not what goes into a people's mouths that defile them, it's what comes out of their mouth that defiles them. The tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. This was the realization of Isaiah. He recognized that he was not alone in his dilemma. He understood that the whole nation was infected with dirty mouths when he cried, "I live among a people of unclean lips." We live among a people of unclean lips. Just as it was in the days of Isaiah, so it is today. We live in a culture that profanes God's name. When we do not honor God with our lips, we turn his name into something ugly and profane. Before God's kingdom can come to earth the way it has already come to heaven, and before his will can be done on earth the way it is done right now in heaven, the name of God has to be hallowed. There's no other way. There is no blasphemy in heaven. There is nothing profane in heaven. No one in heaven, seraphim, cherubim, or the spirits of men who have departed to join the assembly on high ever does anything but the will of God in heaven. And they do it joyously, happily, and for his glory. If we would honor him here on earth, we must begin by regarding his name as holy and treating it that way. And as we grow in our knowledge of him, we gain a deeper love for his purity and sense a deeper dependence on his grace. We learn that he is altogether worthy of our adoration. The fruit of our growing love for God is the increase of reverence that we have for his name. Wow, 20 minutes. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yeah, Chuck.
Joe, I want to say that's probably the best pre-sermon I've ever heard. The topic of holiness, God's holiness, is something that I think too many Christians take for granted, and we never really stop to think about it. Other people never stop to think about it at all, disregard it totally. But I think you nailed it quite well, I think.
I'll be taking you out to lunch later, fella.
Don't go away.
Okay.
Don't go away. I'm just facing this way instead of facing the wall. We've talked a lot here in our church about how the church is kind of like an incubator and the lead agency in the culture, and whatever happens in the church ends up showing up in the culture, and we really, that is an inescapable thing. And we've talked about things like how, you know, a woman has not been found, in a tank in the cockpit of a fighter plane until she was first found in the pulpit. And so what happens in the church happens in the culture. And so, you know, when Isaiah talks about I live amongst the people of unclean lips, and Joe rightfully, you know, found his energy for sure, that we live amongst the people of unclean lips. And that's because of the church's relaxed atmosphere and attitude towards the name of God. The word profane, what it literally means, is outside the temple. So something that's outside the temple is the definition of something profane. And so what is inside the temple, inside the community of faith, ought to be this high and holy regard for the name of God. And the fact that out there, there's a low regard for the high and holy name of God means that we must be using this a little bit too lightly ourselves. And perhaps we're being more converted by the world than the world being converted by us. And I think this is a wonderful charge about, do we want to go out there and explain to those who are outside that they need to have a high and holy regard for the name of God? Sure, okay. But this thing rightly belongs, the judgment of God begins at home, begins in the church of Jesus Christ. And we shouldn't have that which is profane in our vocabulary or in the attitude behind our use of the word and the name of God. And that's the place for this to start, for the repair, for that to happen in the culture. Very, very good. Who's next?
Yes, Terry.
So, I mean, you've been thinking about this, obviously, for a while.
Yes.
You were talking about, what the pool of us, doesn't use the words of the name in vain. You're talking about that we do that a lot. And I'm sure some of us do, slip up and use God's name as a slur or a swear word. What other practical things were you thinking of where you see either yourself, but you don't have to say it's yourself, but it's evil, where you see yourself or you see us using the name of the Lord in vain when it's not just using it vulgarly?
It's amazing when you do a study on the third commandment. There are so many ways that we profane God's name every day. I'm trying to think of some examples, but when you're at work or you're out shopping or wherever, and you hear someone mention the Lord's name in a derogatory way, we know that's violation of the third commandment. But do we realize when we ourselves say, "Oh my God," or "Jeepers," expressions like that? We're breaking the third commandment when we do that. We don't even realize it. That was one thing that was surprising to me. I probably should have wrote it down, but I didn't. But there are many, many expressions that violate the third commandment that people say all the time, especially Christians. We don't even realize it, I would say this, that is a grace and a mercy from God that He allows us to get away with that. Isaiah, when he said, "Woe is me," when Isaiah got a vision of the Lord, you guys all know the story. King Uzziah died, and the nation was devastated, and Isaiah went to the temple because he was really down, and he has a vision of God in the temple. God, he said, "Woe is me." You can preach a whole sermon just on those three words, what it means. When Isaiah saw the holiness of God in all his majestic beauty, he was devastated. He was undone. The old King James says, woe is me, for I am undone. To be undone is you're devastated. It's excruciating. In other words, what I'm saying is the Lord, he did have mercy on Isaiah. We know that. But in that moment, he showed Isaiah his sinfulness all at once. And it just wiped him out. Thank God that he doesn't do that to us. You know, he has mercy.
Terry, I think more specifically, to answer your question, you know, this whole idea of using the Lord's name in vain is related to this idea of bearing false witness against his name. So like an extreme example would be when a Muslim person in the name of their God does something that's very ungodly, like chop people's heads off for no reason, right? They are doing horrific damage to the name of their God, okay? And so we are, the Bible says, we're epistles read of men. And so as we go about our life and people know we're Christians, when we do anything, because we're epistles read of men, we're known to be Christians, when we do anything that is inconsistent with the character and the name of God, we are in a de facto way taking the Lord's name in vain in those actions, even though a word may not be coming out of our mouth.
Yes. Yes, so we don't realize sometimes how merciful, gracious God is to us. I mean, he could wipe us out any moment because we offend his holy name. We don't even realize it. Grace, grace, grace. It's all about grace. Anybody else? All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Holy Father, Lord, we bow before your majesty this morning. We bow before your holy name. And Father, we ask that you would forgive us when we realize and when we don't realize that we are profaning your name. We ask that you would convict us when we do so and help us to not to do so. And Father, as we prepare to go into worship in a few minutes, may we keep your holy name on our hearts and in our minds as we corporately come and worship you together. Thank you, Father, for all things. Give us a good day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.